I'm Cliff Kelly, Vietnam veteran and host of America's Heroes Group, the game changer in radio, print, and digital media programming. We are a roundtable talk show where information, resources, and referrals are provided intentionally every Saturday to empower our military population on WVON 1690 AM, the iHeart Radio app from 4 to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. Please visit our website at www.americashg.org.
Good afternoon. This is the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON, America's Heroes Group. I'm Cliff Kelly, and of course, our call-in number here at WVON is 773-591-1690. And before we take our guest, we have someone who wants to say something to us. Yvette, how are you?
Hi.
Hi,
Yvette. How are you, Cliff? I'm enjoying the show today.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Yes, I just love you and Dr. Arnold so much, and thank you for the show. I really do think that we have overlooked our veterans. And I wanted to be able to give a shout-out to Angela Phillips, who is our director over at the Quarry. That Real Men Charities owns the Quarry. Mm-hmm. And we've just been doing a lot of community work. We've changed the Quarry into a wellness center and food disability center. And Angela's a veteran, and she's our general manager, and she does a great job. And, we just have a lot of things going on, and I just thought she should be acknowledged on the show.
Well, I think you're right.
You all.
Yeah, I think that's great, Yvette.
So I want to thank you also for your, engagement and support over the years of Real Men Cook.
Yeah.
And we kick off Monday with Men's Health Month. And you and Dr. Arnold have signed on with your endorsement of our work that'll culminate on Father's Day, but all month, the month of June, we'll be really holding up, our men. And it was a critical time right now. And
it certainly is with all of the unfortunate situations that are going on of it, I'll tell you.
It's highly stressful for our community,
yeah.
You can imagine.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I mean, I feel, physically, I'm feeling it today.
Yeah. But we'll talk, okay? That'll be great. Appreciate you. All right. Yvette, a lot of people know who she is, that's for sure. And she's just great. Okay, now we are going to our guest, Bob Carnegie, U.S. Army veteran and DAV, 1st Junior Vice Commander, Department of Indiana. Bob, how are you?
I'm doing great. Cliff,
good.
How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you for the opportunity once again.
Great. Yeah. Give us some background here.
Well, the last couple of months have been very difficult for the DAV all over the United States. Most of the DAV chapters themselves meet in the third-party hall. The example would be at DAV 17 in Hammond. We meet at a VFW hall. Well, that VFW hall has been closed down by the national VFW. They can't open. And so, consequently, we have no place to have a meeting, let alone the fact we would have too many people in the room at one time. So there just hasn't been much activity, and state conventions have been canceled all across the country. and the national convention is still scheduled, but many, many, many state conventions have been canceled. So it's unprecedented what is taking place, and some of the rules and regulations that have had to happen because these conventions can't take place. They had to enforce rules that were established in 1942. So I was quite surprised and with some of the rulings that came out, because if you couldn't have your state convention, you kept your state board of directors in place till next year, because they did it in 1942, and so the precedent had been set.
Well, what? I don't understand. Wait, tell us what's going on here, Bob.
Well, like the state of Indiana, we have 27 chapters, I believe, across the state, and then they have a board of directors for the whole state, and they're elected at their statewide convention, which would have been next weekend. Well, they canceled that because of the pandemic, and so there will be no state convention for the state of Indiana's DAV until next year. And so by bylaws and past precedent by the national organization, this board of directors you had up until this week, they will stay in place all through next year also.
Now, so has this happened before?
1942 it happened before. I can't tell you what motivated it in 1942, but they were not able to have conventions in 1942, and so that was the precedent that was set. So when they called me and told me what they were doing, I said, well, shouldn't we have voted on it at the board of directors? They said no. The national organization said the precedent was set in 1942 and we're going to continue on. So I said, okay.
Something doesn't make a lot of sense there. Help me. I don't understand.
Okay.
That. Yeah.
Well, because they can't, we can't get together as a body to nominate and elect people, because of you can't get a couple hundred people in the room at a hotel in Indianapolis, and so we're unable to have our convention. And to try to change it to later on in the year, we wouldn't have gotten the election completed by the 1st of August, which was required, because the national convention takes place at that time. There was not enough time or locations available for us to have a convention. So we keep the same board of directors in place in their same positions until next year.
Give me your background as a soldier.
I spent 19 months in the military. I was drafted in 1967, and the Army trained me quickly, and 6 months later, they sent me to Vietnam. Mm-hmm. I spent 13 months in Vietnam, mostly in and around the Saigon area, and when I got out of my tour, I had spent 19 months in the military, and because I was coming home with less than 150 days to serve, I got dropped out of the military. They didn't want me to go someplace for 150 days. And I'm not sure what their philosophy was, but obviously since we had spent, you know, 12 months or 13 months in Vietnam or however long you did, they didn't think sitting at Fort Campbell, Kentucky or wherever we'd be too productive. So I spent 13 months.
Were you at Campbell?
No, I was. I trained at Fort Leonard Wood.
Okay.
I trained at Fort
Missouri.
Leonard Wood.
Yeah, okay.
Yep, right. Yep. Just a beautiful place. I can't compliment it too much.
You need help.
Yeah, right, that's for sure. And my sister lives about 100 miles south of there now. So when I go visit her, I'll drive by and really pull off the highway and go by the front gate and take a look at this massive, massive base and say, wow, how did I survive that?
I know it. But listen, something, Bob, has got to be, there's got to be help for you. There's no doubt about it. I mean, well, is anybody doing anything for you?
For me?
Yeah.
Well, sure.
Okay.
Well, I'm very fortunate. first off, I live with my son in my home. So as far as the pandemic is concerned, I'm in very good shape.
Okay.
In fact, this is very interesting what I did this past week. From Tuesday through Friday, I'm also active in the Porter County, which is the county that's just east of Lake County.
Mm-hmm.
And in that county, I'm part of the Veteran Treatment Court. So we get to interact with any veterans that have got into some trouble with the law, and then they come into our Veteran Treatment Court. And so the last 4 days was supposed to be their convention for Veteran Treatment Courts and drug courts and other associated specialty courts. And that was to take place in Washington, D.C. Usually it's attended by anywhere between 5,000 and 7,000 people. It was canceled. They couldn't have it because of the pandemic. So they did a fabulous job, Cliff. They went online, and everything was done online for 4 days of presentations. Probably, as an individual like myself, I could probably take six small breakout sessions a day and two or three large sessions a day. So I was probably sitting on my computer watching presentations on different involvements with the Veteran Treatment Court Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. We had a half a day. And your name even came up in one of the presentations I was watching.
My name came up.
Your name came up because there was somebody that somehow was involved in the station and the show who is involved, must be in the Chicagoland Veteran Treatment Court. And he had asked a question of Judge Russell, I believe, who is the originator of Veteran Treatment Courts in Rochester, New York. And a fabulous man, and is so involved in helping veterans. It's unbelievable. So the question was asked of the guy, whoever it was, referenced the fact of being knowing you and being involved with your program. And then he asked a question about, I can't remember what the specific question was, but it was very, very interesting. And one of the things, Cliff, this was amazing for me to sit through this presentation. The doctor who gave the presentation talked about PTSD, individuals suffering from PTSD, and substance abuse.
Wow.
Right, and think about that. And so he explained something to me that it was so eye-opening for me personally. We've got to sit down with this individual who's gotten a foul of the law because of this, and first determine what came first, the PTSD or the substance abuse.
Good point.
To determine how we can help this individual. Mm-hmm. And I'm just sitting there going, oh, wow, how deep do we have to go to make all these determinations with some people? And how you know, particularly a guy with PTSD, now he wants to get away from the demons that he's got from that, and he turns to some substance, whether it's alcohol, whether it's drugs or whatever it may be, and now he's suffering from PTSD. Now he's got an addiction problem. And I just sat and thought about that experience and just said, how blessed am I that I'm there helping them through these kinds of things. And, you know, I've been so lucky in my life, and I'm glad I can help people that might be suffering from this, but it's just amazing.
That's great that you are able to do that. So because of your ability to adjust to the PTSD and the substance abuse, what was the situation? What happened after that, Bob?
Well, I never had those problems. I really didn't.
No, you were helped, right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right, but I'm helping these folks. And
I know
you
are.
Look at this. This is the problem. You know, when they get a follow the law, we take them into our court instead of they would normally go in a regular court. Mm-hmm. They get shifted over to the Veteran Treatment Court.
Sure.
And so now our job is to help them.
Mm-hmm.
And they are assigned. I can tell you that if somebody comes in our court, there are probably nine people that work on a team to help them in one way, shape, or form or another. There are certain people that are called program managers. they sit with you and they say, okay, Bob, you've got a problem with this and this, and let's figure out how we can best help you, whether it's sending you to the VA, sending you to Jesse Brown, and get help there, seek mental health help up there, go through their PTSD program up there, and then we'll try to help you with any addiction problems locally here in Northwest Indiana, you know, such as AA or NA, mm-hmm. and those kinds of things to try to untie you from that. But they all work together. In other words, what we might be doing locally works in conjunction with what they might be doing at Jesse Brown for you for your PTSD, because on our team in Porter County, we have representatives from Jesse Brown who are understanding what treatment you might be going through at Jesse Brown. So there is, when we get somebody involved in our program, I can't tell you that there's from 8 to 10 people that are working and surround them. And one person on that team that I just mentioned is what's called a mentor. And the mentor is assigned by the court, and they are a veteran. That's a qualification to be a mentor. They're a veteran. And so they're assigned to become your friend. There may be doctors and psychiatrists and psychologists and court-appointed program managers that work with you, but there's one person who's your mentor. And fundamentally, the mentor as a veteran is assigned to say, hey, I'm working with you. I'm the guy you can reach out to anytime for any problem, and I can't solve it, but it's somebody that you can talk to. And that's what I've found in working with these guys as a mentor. The requirement to allow them to have somebody they can talk to, that they're confident, that they understand what they've been through, and they can just share and try to get off their chest things that are bothering them and pressures they're getting. While there are other people that are working on it, you know, from a medical perspective or clinical perspective, but we're their friends that they can use as a resource. These folks stay active in the court for usually between a year and a year and a half.
That's great.
And when they come out of this program, Cliff, we have a graduation service. We have state politicians come and present these guys with certificates, these guys and ladies with certificates mm-hmm. of appreciation for, one, their service, for, two, their ability to beat their demons. And what happens then, quite often, these folks that graduate from the program will stick around and work with us as mentors.
That's just a great thing. And
it's wonderful.
And it's continuing to work well.
Yes, the recidivism rate is really the way the only real way they can judge how well that particular court might be doing. So the statistics bear out the fact that somewhere between 80 and 90% of the graduates go on to lead productive lives and don't repeat offend.
Wow.
And you know, statistically, in any court across the land, that number is nowhere near that successful. So, you know, and you can be proud of what the courts are doing, but really, 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 these young folks that get involved, and they're not all young, you know, some of them are, you know, some that we have in the program are close to my age and your age. So, you know, and they're Vietnam vets that come in there that have issues.
Yeah.
And I can tell you, Cliff, I have a neighbor. I moved into this neighborhood probably about 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And the first day, he saw me out wearing my Army hat. He comes walking out with his Marine hat. And we've had, you know, a wonderful relationship. And we talked. He was in Vietnam the same time I was, you know, so we have a lot of synergies. And he and I have talked. He still has demons. You know, he's 70 years old.
Of course.
He still has demons from his
absolutely.
Tour.
Absolutely. That's not old for Phnom, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I stopped and thought about it. I said, gee, many Christmas, he's been suffering with this 45 years.
That's something. Mm-hmm.
Yep, and we have talked now. He'll come over and he'll talk to me, and we'll sit on the back porch or whatever, and we have very, very nice conversations. And I know that he'll share things with me that he has never shared with his wife.
I believe that. I certainly believe that, yeah.
You know, and she'll talk to me sometimes, and she said, you know, Bob, he'll talk in his sleep, and he'll do things in his sleep, but, you know, he'll never talk to me about it. And I didn't want to tell her, well, he talks to me about it. You know? I didn't want to say that, but, you know, we understand, right? They keep it inside.
Yes, certainly. No, that doesn't surprise me at all.
That's right. Yeah. And so, you know, I feel honored when he and I can just sit and talk and chat about, you know, whatever. And he'll tell me stories, and I'm going, come on, holy mackerel. But he was in the Marines, and he was out, you know, in the tough part of South Vietnam, and he was surrounded on several occasions, as a lot of the Marines were, because they were way out in the front.
Yeah, and a lot of the blue water. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
That's right. Well, the blue water is a whole other project.
That's true.
I'm just amazed at how long it took to get that approved. But,
exactly.
You know, what a shame, you know, that those guys had to suffer with the residuals from Agent Orange.
That's
because
right.
They're on
Agent
a ship.
Agent Orange, yeah, you know? You're right, yeah.
Right. Yeah. They're sitting on a ship 12 miles off the coast, but they said, well, this powder didn't probably blow over that way. Well, we know. know it probably
did. That's what I should have mentioned. I got my color wrong on that. it's fantastic what is going on there. What else do we need to know, Bob?
Well, you know, I think that this whole pandemic situation is going to change our lives, you know, and it's going to change. I'm worried about it changing in a negative way on how we can interact with people that need help. And you know, just today, Cliff, I had a call from my buddy.
Mm-hmm.
They had taken a homeless veteran into the hospital in East Chicago, and the hospital had no reason to keep him, you know. And so what are they going to do? So they called him, and he does a really great job with homeless veterans, but he was out of town. So he and I worked on a little project, and we got him put up in a hotel for the rest of the weekend, and then we'll be able to get him involved with the North Township here in Lake County, Indiana, where they have a really good program for helping homeless veterans. And they'll take them in, and we've got him in a hotel and safe and secure for a few days. We've got a gift card for him to have, you know, his meals at the restaurant next door.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll start to work with him on Monday and start to find some transitional housing for him, see what kind of job training we need to help him with, and then see what we can do to get him established again.
He's running to a good guy.
Well, I can only tell you that I have such a passion for these folks, whether they're young and old. And, you know, they're all, you know, sometimes the demons they have, they created some of them themselves.
Well, that's true.
But they gave, you know.
Yeah.
And they went in and served.
Yeah, it just didn't happen. Yeah.
That's right. And they signed on the dotted line, and they said they're willing to serve this country, and if it means they have to give their life, they're willing to do that. And so we as Americans need to make sure we take care of those folks.
I agree. I think you're totally correct on that. And this gentleman, I'm just so glad, Bob, that, you know, that you're talking to him, because obviously you're going to take care of him, and that's a great thing. Absolutely.
And I'll tell you, Cliff, you and I would have walked past this guy 100 times on the street and never thought he was homeless.
Wow.
And I don't mean that because he was all dressed up or anything. But,
yeah, I understand.
You know,
yeah.
When I went there to meet with him today and get him set up in the hotel, you know, I'm thinking that I'm going to run into something shabby and grubby and run down and stuff like that.
Exactly.
You know, that was not the case.
Not the point, yeah.
Nope, that was not the case. I was very, very surprised. And I had my little hat on, you know, that says Vietnam veteran. And he said, you served in Vietnam? I said, yeah, I did.
Yeah.
He said, well, I was training too. He said, but I was too young for them to send me over there. I said, you know, you were lucky. I said, count your lucky stars. And just immediately he opened up and talked, because that's a veteran-to-veteran conversation.
Exactly, exactly.
And that's the beautiful part about what we do in the Veteran Treatment Court. It's veteran-to-veteran. And they will share because they feel you understand what they've been through.
Bob, you're doing a great job. Keep it up, please. Thank you so much for spending some time with us here on America's Heroes Group. And we'll be talking again soon, okay?
You got it, Cliff, and it's absolutely a pleasure to share things with you.
And you also. Appreciate you.
All right, have a great day.
And you too now.
Bye now.
I love talking to people like that. It's just great. Anyway, we've gotten some great comments from some great guests, and now we're going to hear from the executive producer of America's Heroes Group, Glenda Smith. Hi, Glenda.
Hi, Governor of Talk Radio. Great show today.
Thank you.
My compliments to you, as always.
Thank you.
Regarding any information or resources regarding affordable housing, social service, wellness care, please feel free to call America's Heroes Group at 312-803-2618. We're located at 155 North Wacker Drive, Suite 4250, Chicago, Illinois, 60606. As always, we are so grateful, and we thank you for watching us live on Facebook. Make sure you hit the Facebook like button, at the top of our Facebook page. You will stay connected, and we'll receive future notifications regarding shows, events, information, and resources regarding veterans, armed forces, family members, and the communities. As always, once again, we are so grateful to our partner, Mrs. Dorothy Lavelle, and the Chicago Crusaders. And you can read the Chicago Crusaders articles on veterans, armed forces, and family members online at www.chicagocrusaders.com. To subscribe to the Chicago Crusaders weekly column with Voices, the one and only Governor of Talk Radio, Mr. Cliff Kelly, and America's Heroes Group, please call the Chicago Crusaders, 773-752-2500, or send an email to ads, that's ads, at chicagocrusaders.com, and request a subscription. As always, we are grateful to Mrs. LaTierra Randall, our technical producer. I got your name right again, girl. And always, Mr. Titus Williams, who helped me get organized every Saturday morning for this show. The best technical producers at WBON. On behalf of Mr. Cliff Kelly and America's Heroes Group, we are global because of you. Be safe and have a blessed weekend. Thank you all for listening.